I'm here with Evelyn Parr from the Circadian Rhythm Study. Evelyn, could you please briefly introduce yourself and describe the Circadian Rhythm Study?
Yeah, sure. So I am a postdoctoral researcher in the Centre for Exercise and Nutrition. And my role in the study is I'm the study coordinator. And what we're looking at is the patterns of the body's metabolism or the metabolic system, and comparing what happens in the morning compared to the evening. What we're most interested in is how diet affects that kind of normal circadian, that normal body rhythm that we have. So we're going to measure that in individuals before and after a high-fat diet that we've seen in animals gives quite a different pattern of circadian rhythm once that high-fat diet has been introduced, because today's society aren't consuming a healthy eating plan in the most part. And that's what we're most interested in finding out is how much it disrupts our sort of normal patterns by changing the diet quite considerably.
Is there anything else that might be learned from this study?
Oh, there's a lot to be learned from this study. This will be one of the first studies or the first study to look at these kind of circadian measures within a human muscle tissue. There's been a lot of animal studies, and that's really good, but we're not animals, and we don't exactly respond in the same way, so it's really important that we do learn from human tissue, and skeletal muscle is quite easy to sample compared to a lot of the other tissues. As I said, we're not animals. We can't take our livers out and take out our brainstem and things like that, but the muscle tells us a lot about what's happening in the body and how the body is responding to certain interventions. And as I said, what we're most interested in this is how the body responds to changes in diet, and that's really important for us to know as scientists going forward, to be able to kind of underpin how we can help or understand what's happening with obesity and other metabolism-related disorders.
What impact could these things that we might learn have on individuals in the future, potentially?
Yeah, good question. And I think very long-term, we need to be able to specify treatments and how people are best going to respond. And also, by just understanding what effects it causes on these, tightly regulated circadian rhythms that we have. There's that so-called jet lag, or metabolic jet lag that they call the weekend patterns, where people change their eating patterns on the weekends compared to a weekday, has quite a significant effect. And then another example is in shift workers who don't have a sort of a normal pattern, certainly sleep and the times that they consume meals plays a huge role in their health, overall health. So if we can better ascertain how these changes to diet are going to change people's normal rhythms, we can provide the best advice or the best information to people on what we really should be doing, because at the moment we're sort of just tapping into this sort of timing, realizing how important that timing and fitting in with our normal body rhythms is. So without knowing how it exactly affects or of what's happening in the tissues, we don't know how to provide the best advice for people trying to stay as healthy as possible.
Is there any potential impact that these learnings could have on society at large in the future?
They're going to over time. It's going to take a lot of time, these analyses. We don't actually process the muscle here. We send it to a specialized lab in America, so we collaborate with an American group. It will in the future, but it's going to be a long way off. There's so much to learn. As I said, this is going to be the first study with human tissue that's had a lot of these analyses. So we don't even know if the muscle that we're going to sample is going to have responded in the same way that we see in animals. So it's a really important start. But at large, I mean, we're all doing this research because we want to prevent the growing rates of obesity, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, metabolic syndrome. We need to know these things to be able to prescribe the best advice.
Okay. What kind of people are needed to make this research possible?
I think the people that volunteer for research projects are really unique, and because they can see the value in what we're doing. There's a lot of information that they would get from this project, but we specifically are looking for, I guess, people that have a little bit of an open mind and are willing to be, well, lack of a better word, a guinea pig. They get a lot out of it themselves, but they do have to come to our lab in Fitzroy in Melbourne to do the testing. So that limits a lot of people's availability. We're looking for males for this study. We need to start with a really as close to a homogenous group as possible. And unfortunately, female hormonal variation is quite difficult to control. So males pose a good group to start with, and individuals, because we're going to be sampling muscle, individuals that are willing to have muscle biopsy samples taken. It is an invasive process because a needle goes in your leg. We have a doctor on our team that does the biopsies who samples for Deakin, VU, all RMIT, all of the main universities in Melbourne. I think he's done over 15,000 muscle biopsies, so there couldn't be anyone more well trained and well suited to, working with our participants. But yeah, someone that can be kind of ready to have that stress. I've had muscle biopsies myself. I know what they're like. They're not pleasant, they're not something you want to have every day, but they're a necessity for us to gather this information. So it is important that somebody is willing to have that done.
What would a participant in this study need to do?
So to be involved in this study, the main thing is being available to come to our campus in Fitzroy. There are 6 days that the participants need to visit. On two of those days is morning visits only, and 4 of those days have a morning and evening visit. All the visits are covered in about a 6 week period, and for the morning and evening visits, they're shaped around a work day, so they should work for participants to be able to come in before they go to work and come in after work as well. We provide taxi vouchers to get participants here and to work and then here and then home, to take some of the hassle of travel out of it because it is difficult to get to us or can be for some individuals. And then the diet that participants need to consume is going to be individualised to each person in terms of how much energy they require. So there's 2 diets to follow for each for 5 day periods, and we provide all of the food for those days. So we take away all of the need to, prepare food, think about what you need to eat. We'll provide it and ask you to eat it at a certain time, and that's all that needs to be followed for those 5 day periods, for each dietary intervention. That's all.
Are there any possible benefits or compensation for people who participate?
Yeah, we definitely compensate people for their time and energy in the study. Obviously, with being given, 10 days worth of food is a financial and time saver for each individual. So that's definitely a benefit. What they will get is an individual report of their results. So when we get that back from the American group in terms of how they specifically responded to the 2 diets, and also their kind of baseline, so before they start the diet, sort of what we've learned from them. So we're taking body composition, we're measuring resting metabolic rate, we'll take all sorts of measurements from the blood in terms of appetite hormones, glucose, insulin, a lot of measures that would otherwise take them time to go to the GP, pay for, etc. But really, the muscle analysis is going to be something that, nobody else can give them that information, and it really should be useful for them in terms of how they have responded and how the diet may or may not have changed things in the muscle that are relevant to their metabolism.
Are there any questions that people have when they're considering whether to participate in this study?
I think the main question is probably what's a muscle biopsy like? And I guess I'm in that kind of situation to explain what it is like, and that it's uncomfortable, but it's a 15-second stimulus. It's, as I said, quite routinely performed in our laboratory, with a doctor that's very well trained. I guess, and the other thing is, can I drink coffee? Yes, you can. We don't restrict you from that. You will be restricted in terms of alcohol consumption during the dietary period, so that needs to be aware of. And I guess general sort of socialisation. it does restrict you in terms of going out for meals and going out for lunch because you do need to consume what we're providing. But I think people would get a lot out of it, and it is a unique experience and something that they can learn. People can learn a lot from about themselves.
Evelyn, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think I've covered everything. I hope I haven't put too many people off by talking about the muscle biopsies, but that's our main measure for the study. That's why this study is so important, because we don't have muscle samples from humans that we can measure in this way. And it's really important that we do measure it in people and not just rely on animal data that and sometimes is really not relevant. So it's some really, really important research, and I think people will get a lot out of participating and interacting with us and throughout the study.
Evelyn, thanks very much.
Thank you.